Appreciate everybody being here this morning. I'm Russ Wallace. I'm with Texas A&M AgriLife Research and Extension Center in Lubbock, Texas. And we are not in a hotbed of strawberry production, although we are trying. We've got a lot of growers who are interested in producing strawberries on a small scale. And a lot of these are limited resource growers. So they're looking to grow organically. And one of the problems we have is our soils aren't the best, and so we're adding. We do get some diseases, and we've got growers who are interested in looking at some of these microbial or biologically based treatments in strawberries. So, in background, this particular research was conducted with both University of Arkansas, Dr. Elena Garcia, and also Prairie View A&M, Dr. Peter Ampelman. We've got in both states, we've got maybe about 600 acres of open field production. And most of that, and we also have some in high tunnels and low tunnels. Small acreage growers generally for local consumption at farmers markets, U-pick operations, and also local restaurants. And most of these are diversified farms, so strawberries is not their only production system. Organic acreage is on the rise, especially with new growers. Thanks to a Walmart grant we got several years ago, we've got a lot of interested growers, so we've probably doubled the number of growers in our state, although we haven't really doubled the acreage because most of these are really small. But they are interested in using less chemicals. And 2014, we had some major losses with these growers, primarily the organic growers, who we had a particularly wet year. And a lot of our growers had anywhere from 50 to 90% loss of their berries because they had nothing to protect the berries with. And so they're looking at these commercially available products. We do have, in some parts of our state, we do have heavy rains, even in my state, although we've had less than 3 inches in the last 9 months. We're a particularly dry area. It seems like all our rain comes at once, and that's not good on our strawberries. And so that does help with increased diseases of, say, gray mold or botrytis, anthracnose, and we do get some soil black rot, root rot diseases such as rhizoctonia. And you'll see that we primarily get that inside our high tunnels where we've got more humidity. We do have, in our areas particularly, we do have dry, hot weather that increases our spider mite populations and aphid populations as well. And we see those, again, primarily in the high tunnels. So in our particular area of Texas, the high tunnels kind of increase because our conditions are better, our environment is better for not only the strawberries, it's also better for the diseases and insects as well. So this project was funded by SARE, the Southern SARE region, and our primary goal was to conduct research on selected commercially available products. And so these are products that have generally, I'd say most of the products have an EPA registration from commercial production. And our targeted audience is limited resource growers. So some of our techniques are going to be similar to what a limited resource grower would use. We also looked at cost of production because that's important, but I won't be talking about that, and we also provide training for our growers. There's a lot on this slide. I just wanted to have one methodology slide, so I threw everything on there. But we used two varieties for this first year of our trial. It's a three-year trial, and this is the results from the first year. We looked at Camino Real and Festival in my part in Lubbock. White on black plastic with Netafim, standard typical production. Our beds were spaced about 5 feet apart. We had six beds of strawberries in the high tunnel, and we had the equivalent treatments outside the high tunnel as well. For our foliar treatments, we sprayed the biocontrol treatments using a Jacto HD400 single nozzle sprayer, as you can see up above, and that's what typical with our limited resource growers would use. They would just have that single hand pump sprayer. We did figure out what rate we should use to be able to wet the leaves without having too much runoff as well. So that was our standard treatment. We also used a yucca extract as an as a surfactant. For our root disease trials, we mixed the biological treatments with 1.5 liters of water applied using a CO2-charged system that we normally use for our backpack sprayers, but we adapted it to fit to our drip tape. And so each individual plot was able to get individual treatments of the biocontrol products. Our climate, we're semi-arid, Amarillo sandy loam, pH of about 7.5 all the way up to 8.3. I just had a grower yesterday contact me, can he grow strawberries in an 8.3 soil? And I said, well, we can try, but, good luck. fertilized weekly and irrigated as needed with standard practices. The data we collected included plant vigor. We wanted to look at many of these biocontrol products also stimulate root growth and overall plant growth. Crown number, fresh weight at final harvest, disease infected plants, and also the berries, total and marketable yields throughout the season. And our statistical analysis was a three-way analysis with the mean separated at the 5% level. So for our first year, we selected about four or five products. These include the commercial names of Root Shield Plus, which is Trichoderma hartzianum plus Trichoderma virens. And you can see the two strains there. Amy Protect 42 is one that is almost registered in the U.S. It may be by now, but last year it wasn't. But it's a Bacillus amyloliquefaciens product. Regalia, many of you may have heard of that. It's an extract of Renutria saccharinensis or giant knotweed. Actinovate, it's been around for a while as well, Streptomyces lyticus. And then we also threw in a half rate of both Regalia and Root Shield Plus to look at what the effect would be there, as well as a non-treated control. And these were all applied at the labeled rates according to the labeled. In general, if there was a range, we picked the middle range. And we also picked, because these growers were our limited resource, they didn't have, we figured that we couldn't apply it as often as the label would suggest. Although based on the results from this past year, this year we're actually going to be doubling. Instead, we applied the products at drench, at planting, and also every 8 weeks. And now we've actually bumped that up to every 4 weeks because we weren't getting the results that we really wanted to see. So, all right, for our foliar treatments, we were looking primarily at botrytis and anthracnose control. For botrytis, there's a product called Botrystop, which is Eulocladium. And I'm not going to bother to say that last part. Also, Milstop, potassium bicarbonate. Regalia, again, is sprayed both foliar, it can be sprayed as well foliarly for botrytis control. Actinovate, and then we also purchased a local product called Mildew Cure. It's got cottonseed, corn, and garlic oils, plus oleic and lauric acid, and also some sodium bicarbonate in it as well. And those were applied, again, at the mid-range for their labeled rates, and those were applied biweekly as well, beginning at first flowering. Here you can see the general characteristics. What we had primarily for our root diseases, for the first 5 years, I didn't have any root disease problems in my tunnels. But after about 7 years of producing strawberries in the same spot, you finally get some disease, which was what we kind of hoped for. So we did pick up some Rhizoctonia fragaria, or black root rot, in our high tunnels. You can see beginning up there in the upper left, we start seeing symptoms of wilt, and that carries on. We also see symptoms of leaf necrosis, very characteristic of Rhizoctonia. Also stem infections, blocking of the vascular system, and then black root rot, or the roots start to die off, and then also we see it start to spread, as you can see down there in the lower left. A lot of the factors of black root rot are a result of stress. We have plenty of stress in our area, as well as excessive moisture. And a lot of times, I believe that is because of the system we're using inside the high tunnel. We have dry air conditions. We don't get much moisture, and so we're irrigating quite often to keep our plants alive. And then also winter injury. We get down pretty low. We can get down to 5 to 10 degrees during the wintertime. Then for botrytis, gray mold infections, we do begin our applications again at flowering so that many of these products can, if they're biologicals, can colonize, they say, the flowers to help protect them there. So those are the typical symptoms. We generally see, with this one, we'll see moderate amounts of that. The one with the cluster of berries that was that is highly infected. That was actually, we had a 4.5-inch rain over the weekend, and our tunnels were flooded, and that's a result of what happens when berries are flooded for 24 hours. All right, so in looking at some of our results, a three-way analysis comparing production system, variety, and biocontrol treatments on Rhizoctonia, we didn't see a whole lot of differences between our biological control treatments. Okay, but what we did see was that there were some differences between our production systems. And so this was basically on the average number of Rhizoctonia infected plants, our severity, number of crown rots, leaf weight and plant biomass, plants per plot, and also the average number of infected berries per plant, which you would expect. Plants that are outside are going to, if they get rained on, they're going to have a higher disease pressure versus those that are inside the high tunnel. Least square mean analysis for the main factors, including production system and variety on Rhizoctonia infections. We did see inside, it did separate out somewhat in the high tunnel, the average number of Rhizoctonia infected plants during the mid-season, which is on the left there. We did see a higher rate of Rhizoctonia infected plants in our high tunnel. And again, that's what we would expect because the system, there's greater humidity levels. We're not getting that evaporation like we would outside the high tunnels. We have plenty of wind in our area, sometimes 75, 80 miles an hour, which can destroy our plants. But we have an average wind speed of 13 miles an hour. So anything that any moisture that's on the ground gets evaporated rather quickly. But inside our high tunnels, especially if they're closed, you don't get that evaporation. So that's where we're seeing, we believe, that increase in Rhizoctonia. Average number of crowns was different, but not that different. Our leaf fresh weight in the open field, we actually had larger plants, but as you'll see later on, we actually had higher yields outside or inside the high tunnel. But our leaf fresh weight, our overall plant growth was higher outside compared to inside the high tunnel. And then at final season, we had a significantly almost double the amount of Rhizoctonia infected plants inside the high tunnel compared to outside. All right. And looking at the biocontrol treatments, we didn't see a whole lot of significant differences. If you look at underneath the biocontrol treatments, I did highlight a few. The trichodermate species, the Root Shield Plus, applied at 6 ounces per 100-gallon rate. I did put that in red. We did see not as much, or actually we saw higher rates of infection of Rhizoctonia using the trichoderma in this trial. And our hope, obviously, was to see that these things controlled better than the untreated. And we did not see that with the Root Shield, but I highlighted that because you'll see a slide in just a few minutes on some of the effects of that as well. In this trial, particular trial, the Bacillus product, AmbiProtect 42, Bacillus amyloliquefacens, did have significantly less number of Rhizoctonia-infected plants, as did the Renutria product for severity as well. So we did see some significant differences there. So we did see some effects of these biological control treatments on the strawberries, particularly with Rhizoctonia. Average fresh weight, we didn't see much difference there, so there was no effect on plant yield or on plant fresh weight. But again, I did highlight the trichoderma species that was higher than the rest, although not significantly different. And also, the average number of crowns was higher, but not significantly different with the trichoderma. That was in the high tunnel. Looking at the open field, really not much differences there. We did see slightly higher number of Rhizoctonia-infected plants with Festival compared to Camino Real, but that seemed to be more of a variety effect rather than anything else. All right. Looking again, going back to the high tunnels, looking at berry quality and yield, we did see with Camino Real that we had higher yields with Camino Real compared to Festival. And this is typically what we see in most of my variety trials throughout the years. Camino Real has been our best producer. And it's also been our best, not only our best producer, but the variety that tends to get botrytis the most as well. So for our disease trials, that's a good variety to use. Our marketable berry size was larger, significantly larger. Our number of marketable berries was higher as well, though not significant. And I'm sorry, it was not higher than Festival. And if you look at average berry size, Festival had a lot more berries, but they were smaller size. Okay, which is typically what we see. Camino Real gives us some really nice large berries. When we look at the biological control treatments, no significant differences between any of the biological control treatments in the high tunnel as far as berry quality and yield. So I mentioned also that the trichoderma species did not do a good job of controlling the Rhizoctonia. In fact, they had the highest rate of infection on the number of plants that were infected. But it was interesting that when we look at, and those are the ones I highlighted in red, so on the left we have the number of Rhizoctonia-infected plants per plot. The trichoderma species had the highest amount of Rhizoctonia infection, but it also, even though it wasn't significant, had the highest yield. Okay, so typically you would think more disease pressure, less yield. But we do see some root stimulation with some of these products, And we see that we tend to think that that was the effect here. We had much better looking plants, higher yield infection. Am I 2 minutes?
No.
Oh, okay. All right.
Time is up.
Oh, time is up.
Yeah.
Oh, then we'll just skip a few. Okay. I didn't get the 2 minute warning, did I? Okay. Anyways. Okay. All right. So, in conclusion, do I have 30 seconds to go over conclusion? Okay. All right. We did see significant differences in rhizoctonia and botrytis infections were largely due to the effect of the production system, which is pretty typical of what we'd see. Higher rhizoctonia infections inside the high tunnels compared to outside, but we had higher botrytis infected berries in the open field plots compared to the high tunnels. In general, we see some advantages perhaps with the biological control treatments, but in this particular trial, we really didn't see any benefits of applying them at this time. We do have 2 more years of study that we are looking at them. We did see some differences this year. We've used more products in this particular, in this next season, starting in the fall, we're actually going to add more treatments as well. So if anybody has any other biologicals that they know have some effects on diseases or strawberries, I'd like to talk with you about that. So that's it.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. I guess we'll just ignore